We're at Christchurch Burial Ground now. This was established in 1719. More than 4,000 people are buried on this plot.
You see how weathered they look from there up?
And the number 1793 appears on many gravestones.
Approximately 400 of them died during the yellow fever epidemic that are buried here.
Also buried here is Dr. Benjamin Rush. His grave is weathered. I can just barely make out the inscription, Benjamin Rush, M.D. My tour guide, Bob Spross, has a book with the gravestone inscriptions. Benjamin Rush, who died on the 19th of April in the year of our Lord, 1813, aged 68 years.
Right. That would have been what was written on that top part there, mm-hmm. Yeah. His epitaph says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord."
Rush lived another 20 years after the 1793 epidemic. Yellow fever would continue to roll through the city in the following decades, but nothing devastated Philadelphia like the 93 outbreak.
It took more than 100 years after the 1793 epidemic for scientists to finally resolve what caused yellow fever and how it spread. It wasn't the rotting coffee.
So the infection is spread through the bite of the Aedes aegypti mosquito. The mosquito takes a blood meal, ingests the virus, and then at a second blood meal for another person, infects another person.
That's Drexel University infectious disease specialist Esther Chernak.
We tend to see belts of yellow fever in South America and in sub-Saharan Africa.
In 1793, the infected mosquitoes must have gotten to Philadelphia on ships coming from far away, warmer climates. And they made themselves right at home.
The Aedes aegypti mosquito is very, very good at breeding in small containers, small collections of water.
We know that bleeding, purging, and cold baths don't fight yellow fever. But today, there's still no cure when the illness strikes.
There is no specific anti-yellow fever medication, so once someone has it, there's really not much that can be done.
But a vaccine became available in the 1930s. Benjamin Rush and his colleagues in Philadelphia's medical community never considered that it was mosquitoes transmitting yellow fever. Here's historian David Barnes again.
Had anyone proposed in 1793 that mosquitoes were responsible for yellow fever, I think it would have been not only ridiculed at the time, but actually ridiculous. It's a crazy theory because from a simple standpoint of empirical observation and correlation, mosquitoes are always here in the summer. They're always everywhere in the summer.
But yellow fever wasn't. They also just knew nothing about viruses and how they spread. When the yellow fever epidemic of 1793 was over, about 5,000 people had died. And those who lived, many remembered Benjamin Rush for the tireless care he tried to provide.
He is elevated because he's become this hero, because he lived through yellow fever and all this, but he also is much more of a target.
That's historian Stephen Fried. Rush made some powerful political enemies during the epidemic by suggesting that the fever was spread through the dirt and filth in Philadelphia's streets and by insisting on his heavy-handed treatments of bleeding and purging.
John Adams actually has to give him a job, a make-work job, at the U.S. Mint so that he has enough money because he's afraid that Rush won't be able to practice anymore.
But at the same time, Rush was still influential.
He was making American medical education matter.
So, Michael, in terms of public health, what were the big lessons of this yellow fever epidemic? What happened in the aftermath?
Well, the most important thing to happen in the wake of the 1793 epidemic and the epidemics that hit later that decade was that the city finally began to create an infrastructure to deal with public health threats like yellow fever. Here's historian David Barnes.
The city created a Board of Health. Beginning in 1794, the Board of Health met regularly and was responsible primarily for avoiding a repeat of 1793.
The board was supposed to clean up the city and prevent threats from coming in. Eventually, the Philadelphia Lazaretto, a quarantine station for ships entering our port, opened in 1801. Philadelphia's water supply would also see important improvements. And within a decade, Philadelphia became the first city in the country to develop its own municipal water supply.
There is a lot more to this story that we have not yet touched on, and if you're interested, there's lots of great books to read, including Stephen Fried's recent biography of Benjamin Rush and J.M. Powell's classic history of yellow fever called Bring Out Your Dead. You can also easily find online Absalom Jones and Richard Allen's narrative of the yellow fever outbreak.